Hello and welcome to the Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. Today we're reporting from Davos and the World Economic Forum and focusing on the UBS white paper published this past week, which was exploring awareness, simplification and contribution, the three core requirements needed to actually achieve the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, or SDGs. The 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, adopted by all UN members back in 2015, provides a blueprint for a peaceful, prosperous future for people and planet. The 17 SDGs are an urgent call for action by all countries, developed and developing, in a global partnership. Both this week and next, over the course of two special episodes, we'll hear how and why UBS has established a leadership reputation in this space and how those three core themes must shape that space going forward. Alongside our panel from the bank, which includes the co-authors of the white paper, we'll hear too from key figures across other institutions who are working with UBS and across the wider industry to create innovative, sustainable investment and philanthropic solutions that can deliver both financial and societal objectives. We start with Mark Haefeli, Global Chief Investment Officer of UBS Wealth Management. Mark, thanks for your time as ever. Maybe you can tell us a bit about what was on the agenda this past week. There's always a bit of a mixed bag of coverage about Davos and the WEF. Some observers perhaps a little cynical about the event's success at really getting things done. But in terms of the broad sustainability agenda, things have really been moving, right?
It's very easy to be cynical about Davos sometimes, but this was actually around sustainable investing was one of those occasions and topics where I really think some good work got done. And the reason is because we were able to get together some of the largest wealth managers in the world, asset managers in the world, NGOs and governments, and really talk about some of the fundamental problems and issues around the plumbing and kind of basic terminology and measurement characteristics around sustainable investing. And the goal was to work on the plumbing so that we could then better hook up the hundreds of trillions of dollars of private wealth that's out there and wants to invest sustainably. Our clients are telling us they want to invest sustainably, to hook that money up to quality investment opportunities around the world.
Simon Smiles is UBS CIO for Ultra High Net Worth. Simon, we've heard from Mark there, but perhaps you can put both the discussion this week and indeed this year's UBS white paper in context for us. How does this fit into the big picture?
Looking back at the last three white papers we've written for the last three WEFs, which have all been around sustainable investing and how to contribute to the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, the first one looked at the potential opportunity for private capital to contribute more. And we made a commitment to impact investing, $5 billion over 5 years. Last year, we talked about a lot of the partnerships we've been able to form, over 30 partnerships with the World Bank, with Hermes, TPG, a range of different firms, basically talking about the progress we've made. However, this year, we actually take a step back and look at the contribution that needs to be made to meet the $2 to $7 trillion per annum shortfall in funding for the United Nations SDGs. And unfortunately, despite all the stuff we've been very proud to deliver, $4 billion of assets under management now in the first 100% sustainable investing mandate, a significant collaboration in raising funds for large-scale mainstream impact investments, etc. It's very small compared with the remaining funding gap. And looking at the problems for capital, both on a consumption side and investment side, from being able to contribute more to the United Nations SDGs, we found some pretty fundamental problems industry-wide. The first is general awareness. Now, surveys show that around 1% of the population actually says that it knows in detail what the United Nations SDGs even are. So a lack of awareness about the dire needs is a fundamental issue. Secondly, the complexity. Be it data, there's not actually a lack of data relating to the environment and social goals, sustainable development goals, which is the issue. In fact, there's too much data. Most listed companies now report huge amounts on their contributions within the annual report, but it's very hard to compare between the companies. And when it comes down to consumption, there's lots of conflicting data. Terms used in the financial industry. There are huge preponderance of sustainable investing terms. The problem for the end holder of the capital, though, is they're all very confusing. There's a lack of commonality in definitions, a lack of commonality in terms. And then finally, it comes to implementation. There aren't sufficient and wide enough and differentiated enough implementations to allow each individual investor to provide the max amount of capital they potentially should. So in our white paper, we go through the issues with respect to general awareness of these needs, issues with respect to complexity and lack of understanding of how to action these needs, and the lack of implementations, and subsequently make 8 proposals for the industry as a whole to adopt to try and better contribute to funding the current needs to reach the 2030 UN Sustainable Development Goals.
Mark Haefeli, if we can come back to you, on the solution-driven approach, both in the research piece and indeed on the ground in Davos, as you described earlier, talk to us maybe, Mark, a little about those 3 key potential solutions to the funding gap for the SDGs.
The problem is so large that we really see the need for collaboration and working with so many other groups. We don't propose to have the best solution. Indeed, we are solutions focused, and so we want to work with those people who are the best and the brightest, and we want to move with the solutions that are actually working and having an impact on the ground. The second thing that we're seeing is that really the knowledge around the topic of sustainable investing, while it's there in kind of a nebulous way, understanding around the sustainable development goals of the UN lags a little bit. It lags among private investors around the world. And that's really a shame, given the good intentions and desire of people to invest sustainably. And so when we look at some of the reasons for that, it's about probably too much complexity in definitions and the way that things are measured, you know, whether they're sustainable or having an impact. And so that's why we got together to focus on simplification on all aspects of the sustainable investing and impact investing value chain.
Well, let's get a fresh perspective on just some of that, in particular on those notions of standardization and simplification. Rob Capito is president and a director of BlackRock, the global asset manager, serving many of the world's largest companies, pension funds, foundations, and public institutions, as well as millions of people from all walks of life. Here's Rob.
I'm very impressed with UBS taking the lead to come up with some standards for all of us to invest with impact and sustainability. This report that came out, I thought, is very well done because it highlights some of the most important things that we need to think about. Simplicity is very important. I believe capital flows where there are good returns, and UBS has been a great super connector between us and where we can find value in companies that are doing things that are good for the environment, have good stewardship and leadership in impact investing. As far as BlackRock is concerned, we are using ESG on all of the portfolio desks to consider the companies that we are investing in, that they have a purpose for profit, and also that they are taking impact investing and ESG in account to whether they're purchasing that company or not. So congratulations, UBS. This was a really good report. It's the beginning of something really big, and we appreciate sharing this and being good partners with you.
For more on the critical import of just such happy partnerships, and indeed why this sort of collaboration, built on so successfully in Davos this week, can show the way, let's turn next to Karen Finkelstein from the IFC, the private sector part of the World Bank. Karen's IFC's Vice President of Partnerships, Communication and Outreach. She talks more about the impact market and the SDGs and the real business opportunity here for investors and asset owners.
We, about 15 years ago, started something called the Equator Principles with a group of commercial banks. The idea was, what should be the environment and social standards that we look at when we're investing in emerging markets? And what we're doing now is looking at the impact market. And what we're seeing is, with the UN's Sustainable Development Goals that set out the global goals for 2030, we see real business opportunities for investors and for asset owners to look at how they direct their capital. But what we think is really important is for investors and asset owners to understand what it means to be an impact investor. So we've developed some impact management principles, And this builds on our Equator Principles experience, but also our experience setting up green bond principles. And green bonds can be part of this. We see a lot of green bonds being issued in developed markets, and we're trying to work on more green bonds in emerging markets. And I think part of the goal here is really to meet those 2030 goals, to create a world that's right for our children, for our grandchildren, but also to offer investment returns alongside of doing the right thing for the environment, doing the right thing for future populations. And so what we're seeing is the opportunity for investors who have impact funds that are labeled impact to embed impact decisions alongside their financial return decisions. And again, we're looking here for both impact and financial returns, and we see products coming out now, the SDG bonds. There could be gender bonds working on women's economic empowerment around the world. We're really looking at ways that we can crowd people in to impact investing with real meaning so that you can be sure that you're not just getting financial returns, but you're also getting sustainable investments for the future.
Karen Finkelstein from the IFC. Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll hear from the likes of Christiana Figueres, and we'll mark your card for some themes that we'll unpack in more detail in next week's second instalment, reviewing this year's World Economic Forum. Next up on the programme, let's return to Simon Smiles. Simon, earlier you were talking to us about awareness and complexity. You mentioned too this question of implementation. And further to that, let's look at the need for additional forms of implementation in sustainable investing, which was covered in the white paper. Tell us a bit more, Simon.
One has to recognise that different investors have very different appetites currently for incorporating impact on society as well as making financial returns. And to simply have one solution is not a practical one. A range of different things we highlight, and our chairman also championed at the WEF this year. First amongst those is actually providing a more personalised approach to sustainable investing. At the moment, the typical approach is to go out and say, don't invest in these bad stocks, exclusion, or invest in these highly rated stocks. But the high rating is on an aggregate ESG rating, environment, social and governance. In reality, individuals do not all care about the same causes to the same degree. There's a difference of values and a difference of focus. If we actually are able to ask individuals what they most care about and then give them financial recommendations, which are not just about making money, but also a match to their specific values, we potentially open up a huge amount more of the market to participate and to contribute to those specific beliefs and initiatives. Secondly, for investors who are firmly committed to sustainable investing, offering a full, truly sustainable cross-asset solution is very attractive. At UBS, we did this for the first time in the industry at the start of last year. Over $4 billion of assets are now sitting in that portfolio despite the difficult financial conditions last year. There's exclusive collaborations with the World Bank with Hermes. But the point more is, other firms adopting the same approach for that segment of the private capital market who wants a fully sustainable approach, I think will help drive even more money into supporting the SDGs. And finally, there are certain segments or areas available that are both financially attractive but also contribute to the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, which could be adopted by almost every traditional investor. And chief amongst those is multilateral development bank debt. So this is the debt of the World Bank, the Asia Development Bank, etc. If you look at the World Bank's debt, you have a yield pickup versus treasuries all along the curve. On top of that, you have a better credit rating, AAA. You have a better risk-adjusted return over the last year, 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, and you're helping contribute to the World Bank's development of the world. So even if your focus is purely on financial returns, it makes sense to actually incorporate multilateral development bank debt into a traditional cross-asset solution rather than just purely allocating to more traditional high-grade debt. This is another thing that our chairman championed up at the World Economic Forum and many others agreed to. So even if 1% of all traditional mandates, cross-asset solutions, were allocated to multilateral development bank debt, it would mean a huge amount more money going in to help support development of the world, but also a very attractive financial addition to those portfolios.
Mark Haefeli, to pick up on something that I think your chairman, Axel Weber, had spoken about, was this idea actually that this doesn't need to be confined to those portfolios or those investors or groups who are interested in sustainable themes. And I think the example was given was multilateral development bank debt, you know, as being something that actually should, it's germane to be in all portfolios. Do you think we're still, a generation away from that entering the common parlance and just being something that everyone looks to? Because it actually is expedient from a pure investment perspective, as well as from a sustainability point of view.
Well, I think that you've hit on something which is very important, which is that there are investments out there that do good, but also do well. And the multilateral development banks was really an insight that I think catalyzed a lot of our thinking around sustainable investing, because here's an opportunity to invest with the World Bank. They're a leader in impact investing, and yet these are bonds that are AAA rated. They're safer than U.S. Treasuries, and yet they have a slightly higher yield than U.S. Treasuries. And so, there are these innovations that we could make. It require going to the World Bank and working with them to say, look, there are some changes to the way that you need to structure some of these things so that they're more attractive to private clients. And that's one of the things we're trying to do, because some of this is innovating with organizations that do a tremendous amount of good, but they're focused on institutional investors who look for a certain kind of investments. And a lot of it is just working with them to change things a little bit so that it's more suited to private clients. So that's one of the things we've been working on.
Let's take another fresh perspective now. Cristiano Figueres was Executive Secretary of the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change from 2010 to 2016, and is currently the convener of Mission 2020, a global initiative that seeks to ensure the world bends the curve on greenhouse gas emissions by 2020 in order to protect the most vulnerable from the worst impacts of climate change and to usher in an era of stability and prosperity. Cristiano spoke about the need for and benefit of standardisation, but as with our UBS panellists before, she's under no illusions about the pressure we all remain under to realise the goals.
So I very much applaud the efforts that are underway to standardise all of our tools that are going to go into smart investment, into impact investment. Yes, absolutely, that is necessary. However, at the same time, we have to understand that we are under enormous time pressure, that we actually do have to create the tools while at the same time we are developing the standards. Because every investment that goes in now, every plant, every coal plant that goes in over the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years is going to have a 40 to 50 year lifetime. And that we cannot afford. We frankly cannot afford one more coal plant. So we do have to fly the plane and change the wheels at the same time.
Wise words as ever from Cristiano Figueres, and a reflection too on the huge nature of the challenge that remains. Bringing us to the end of this 225th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. There'll be more on the learnings from the World Economic Forum at the same time next week, when we continue our review of the UBS white paper with our regular panellists, as well as wrapping up our survey of the views of just some of the other key movers in the realm that shared a platform with our friends from the bank in Davos this past week. As ever, you can find out more at monocle.com or catch up via your preferred podcast platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.